We're going to be engaging in a series right now, and I've entitled it Synergy, the Ethos of Kingdom Life. You know what? Rather than trying to explain why we're heading this, let me just start right in. I may shorten things up a bit just because I don't know if my voice will last as long as I would like it to. Have you ever been engaged with busy work? Do you know what I mean by that? Do you know what I mean by when I say busy work? Busy work is like you got lots going on, but you don't really feel like you're accomplishing anything. You don't really feel like you're getting ahead. You just got you're just doing all this stuff all the time. It's just like stuff going on. It's almost, you'd almost say it's like, you know, you're like a hamster on a wheel, doing a lot, expending a lot of energy, but going nowhere. That's busy work. I'm sort of there right now. I'll explain more of that later. Part of that, why that happens is because sometimes it's just we have too many things on our plate. We're doing too many things. And that can feel that, you know, the word overwhelming, right? It can feel too much. It can feel like your plate is overflowing a bit. Sometimes it could do with where you are emotionally, right? That can affect it. Sometimes it can be, what I got down here? You're not doing things that you're wired for. You know you're wired to do specific things, right? You know that. And then you know there's things you're not wired for. Because if you put your hand to them, you would bomb, right? We know that. It's like what Chris was saying about the creative. We're all creative, but we're not all artistic. And that's the whole wiring thing, right? And sometimes you gotta, you know, we're not engaged in that. Sometimes, though, you're overwhelmed because you haven't learned the art of saying no to people, right? You feel you gotta say yes to people, right? Or yes because they need something, because needs are good. And like they have a good need and you want to fill it. And you can't say no because you're afraid to disappoint people. You don't want to disappoint people because then, you know, you let them down. This is what's going on in your head, right? You haven't learned how to say, no, I can't do that. And there's a lot of times, there's a lot of those feelings that we can experience when we're doing busy work. For me, it's too many things on my plate. And I'm engaged in some things that I'm just not, like, wired for. It's not that it doesn't bring me life. It's just that I got to work harder than the person who is spun that way. So generally what we do, we don't stop. We just keep going. We're just like hamsters, right? We just keep running on, stay on the wheel, and we're convince ourselves someday we're going to get somewhere. And we just keep spinning and spinning, and away we go. And we don't get anywhere. What we got to do is we got to step back. And what I have to do, what I've done, is step back, assess, and reevaluate, right? I didn't get my clicker. Hey, Alin, can you do me a favor? Can you be my clicker for me? You just be it. You don't have to bring it to me. You can just be it. There you go. Reevaluate. I don't know if you know what that word is. It's a simple meaning, that word. You know what evaluate means, right? It means you take something and you place a value on it. Reevaluate is simply taking that thing back out again and going, have I assessed the right value? Is it still valuable to me, or is it less valuable? Or is it more valuable? That's what reevaluating does. But in order to reevaluate whether your busy work is worthwhile or not, is you have to stop doing what you're doing for a bit and take a look at things and give it some serious thought. So what is it for you have to evaluate? You have to reevaluate. What you have to focus on is what I would call your core or baseline values. That's what you really need to be focusing on. Those things that are core to you. Otherwise, if you don't identify what are those things you hold near and dear to your heart, you just keep on doing things for the sake of doing things. And eventually you'll wear out, because even the hamster has to stop at some point and get off the wheel, right? Because he just can't maintain that all the time, right? It just doesn't work. Now, it is similar to if a wheel bearing is going on your car, you know it, you can hear it, right? You can hear, you might hear something, you might not know it's a wheel bearing, you take it to your mechanic, and your mechanic tells you it's a wheel bearing. You can ignore it, you can. Eventually, what will happen? And then what happens? You're not driving. It affects the entire car, right? Okay, if you don't take anything else away with you today, take that away with you. That if you ignore that little bearing, it affects the whole car. The whole thing will stop on you. If there's aspects in your life that you're ignoring, understand at some point, everything comes to a grinding halt, because everything is connected, and everything is affected by it. Here at the Vineyard, we have lots going on, and there have been times, and I'm not sure why. Do you ever have experiences where you almost, how would I best describe it so I don't sound weird? Have you ever had experiences where it feels like you've just stepped outside of yourself? I know that sounds weird. And if you don't have to, you can just look at me with blank stares, that's fine. But it's almost like you take a step back and you're looking at, you can observe things, or you observe things. And sometimes that's happened where I take a step back and I observe things and I ask the question, do we know why we do what we do? Or are we just busy doing stuff? Sometimes the church feels busy. Okay? Sometimes it does. It's weird. It's a weird. Not just this church. Churches feel busy sometimes, right? We take pride in that, though. It's really strange. We take pride in being the hamster on the wheel. It's strange. But if we don't know why we do what we do, then we need to ask ourselves some questions, such as, what drives our activities? What drives it? What is it? What is it that, why do we do what we do? Why do we do Urban Hope? Why do we do kids ministry? Why do we do things? Like, seriously, why are we doing them? Well, because everybody else does them. Well, that's not a good reason. That doesn't cut it. Why do we do it? Why do we do the things we do? And why don't we do certain things? They're good questions to ask, but they're good questions to ask, not just for us, for your own life. Why are you doing certain things? And why don't you do certain things? Or do you ever take time to do that? Those are good questions to ask. Questions we need to ask are things such as, is it that when a need presents itself, we feel we must meet that need? Because the needs can come all the time. And if you feel you got to meet them, whoa, you're in trouble. Because then you're wearing a sign across you that says, I will meet your need. Right? And the other thing to ask, too, have we engaged in some activities that come at the expense of things we hold dear to us, things we value? Because sometimes we can engage in stuff in our life that actually it cost us in some other areas, right? Example, a simple example. You hear of people who are so invested in their job, so invested in their work, they give so much to it that they ignore their relationships, or ignore their marriage, kids. And it comes at a cost. Yeah, you've done well in your job. You've bombed when it comes over to this area because you've forgotten this value over here that is so important. That's what I mean by that, asking that question. And so I've taken some time to look at our baseline, and that's great. You do a better job than I do, Lynn. those things we value here as a church. And where do you start? You consider the history, what things were instilled, what values were instilled when we were born, when it was birth, because those are things we need to consider. You talk to people, you listen to people, you observe what's going on. And with all that, you can sort of come to see what we value, things we value. Now, the baseline doesn't necessarily answer all of our important activities that we do. And let me give you an example here. Jesus was asked by a religious scholar, so an intelligent person, what is the most important command? Probably he was referring to the Ten Commandments, maybe. But he did it. He was asking a key question. What's the most important? In other words, what's that core thing, Jesus, that we shouldn't forget? What do you say? What do you say? That's what the religious scholar was asking him. And Jesus didn't pick one of the ten. Jesus quoted this, if we could put that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Next slide there, there's four. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Jesus was stating there the baseline from which everything flows. Now, do you see in there that prayer is important? No, he doesn't mention that. Doesn't mean it's not, because prayer is part of that. But that baseline there was, that's the what I would call the ethos of the kingdom life, what Jesus talked from, preached from, lived from, breathed from. Everything came out from the kingdom. That was his baseline. That he was talking about there. Our baseline would be rooted as well in the kingdom, because that's one of the main things. That's one of the things that drives us, is as because we see ourselves, we're disciples of Rabbi Jesus, and we know Jesus talked about, that's what he preached about, was the kingdom of God. And he preached about the kingdom breaking through, breaking into people's lives, and he demonstrated it with various, you know, you see people healed, delivered, people rescued, relationships restored. You see all this activity going on. So when I step back and consider what would be our baseline, and I'm not doing this just solo by myself. I'm talking with other people, talking with our elders and board. I see three areas. One is, okay, I wasn't going to put that up yet, but it's okay, leave it. That's the problem with relinquishing control and power. No. One of the core things for us is worship. Worship, and that's not just music. Worship is much broader than that. Worship is how we live our lives. Every area of our lives is an act of worship to God. And so, but music is part of that. Music is significant because music crosses all sorts of cultures, and it can speak to our heart and pull things out. And it does heighten our attentiveness to God to be able to experience and encounter Him. But worship is key. Doing life is key. And by that I mean the whole thing, what's important is developing, becoming what it means, what it looks like to be a true follower of Christ, a mature follower, what that looks like. We talked back in November there about the character of people, how when that's formed, that speaks of our maturing as followers of Jesus. That character, you know, trumps everything, right? And the other thing that's really key for us is doing the stuff, which is, you know, you could call that missional, but we don't use that language. Our language is doing the stuff. And when we talk about doing the stuff, we talk about doing the stuff of the kingdom. That what Jesus was doing, that we do. That's intrinsic in us. That's deeply rooted in us. And it's all done together. And that word, together, is so important. What I mean together is we do it together. We need each other. Oh, that's a bunny trail. Get away from that. Run. That word there is so pivotal for our development and for our, as we follow Jesus, that we do this thing together. We worship together, we do life together, and we do the stuff together. So pivotal. Now, our goal, see, if I feel like I want to be a teacher, I have a pointer. You see the middle where those three areas merge together, right in the middle? Those three where they overlap and intersect? That's where we want to live, right there. That's the sweet spot, right? We want to live right there where those three come together. And there's a reason that we'll touch on really quick about that. But that's where we want to... Whoops. Shoot. Darn. That's where we want to be, right there in that middle part. That's key for us. And so, if we lose our focus, we can end up being busy doing lots of things, but not understanding why we're doing them. And so just understand that this here is key. And so the question becomes, are we living in the sweet spot? Or the other question is, our baseline being compromised by our busyness at all? And it's just asking those questions. Are we hitting those three areas? Are we living in those three areas? Because those three areas are key for us as a people. Now, as I stand back and take a look, if you can just flip back up there, as I stand back and I take a look, I've pondered and I've prayed, I've talked to, our leaders and that about this. There's one area that does light up for me a bit. And that's the area of doing life together. That area that lightens up. Now, the thing here to remember too, that if there is one area that's weak, it will weaken the other areas. The other areas are weak as well. Because remember my analogy of the car. You ignore that wheel bearing, you can ignore it for a while, but eventually it's going to grind your whole car to a halt. Something's going to happen. The wheel's going to come off because you've ignored one key aspect. Not that we're not ignoring it, but there are things that I've been observing, such as what? Well, like... We're very similar to most faith communities. We're very adept at doing. We struggle, though, at times, and I'm just being frank with you here, we struggle at times with being together, learning to be together, to see the value of that. Now, that's not just us. Understand, there's a phenomenon right now that's taking place in our Western world. By Western, I'm talking about European nations, North America, right? All within the church. That the church is in a decline that they've never haven't seen before. People checking out, but not checking out of the faith, checking out of the church, which means they don't know. But it's a concern when people feel that doing life together, that I can't do life together here in the way church currently is. So they check out. It's not an important, it's not a value anymore. And a question that has to be asked is, why? Why is that no longer a value? Because it's doing life together, together going through this whole thing of discipleship is key. Jesus, a strong proponent, the whole Christian faith was birthed from a Middle Eastern perspective, which is not a Western perspective of individualism. It's more of a community, communal type perspective. It's a different, and that's where it was birthed from. I'd love Jesus to weigh in on this. I'm not sure what he would say. My poor voice, stand by, please. Technical difficulties. Life together is about being a community and working out our faith together in that. And Jared's going to talk more next week on the whole thing of community and what that is. I am such an individual, individualistic type person, right? Do things myself, yay, you know? But there's something about when we do things together, when we walk out growing as a follower of Christ and doing that together. But if we are not, here's the thing, if we are not giving the attention it needs, it's affecting the worship area. It's affecting the doing the stuff area. Everything gets affected, guys. It does. It's not solo. It's sort of like, you know, you can put all your energies into your physical, right? And if you ignore the emotional, guess what? Is your physical affected? Absolutely it is, right? So if there's areas in your life that you're ignoring, but you're giving a lot of focus on the others, trust me, if you're ignoring a certain key area, there's other areas in your life that are really hurting, majorly hurting. Because when one part of the body is hurting, the body is hurting. Don't think for a second my toes aren't concerned about my lungs right now. They're concerned. Because they know if the lungs go down, they go down. Right? So when one part of the body hurts, the body hurts. You know, the body wants the body healthy. Because they all get, everything gets affected by it. And it's true. That's not just with a physical body. That is reality. That's a principle that's in life, in the universe. One part hurts, everything starts to hurt. It's one of the principles. But here's the beauty of what God is inviting us into. If you could just go to that next, right there. It's that word synergy. Doesn't get used a lot, but we all understand what that word means. Can anybody rhyme off the typical definition of that just quickly?
Some of its parts is the whole of its parts is greater than the individual sum.
Right. Yeah, that's what it is. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. That's the general definition that's given. Well, what does that mean? It means this. It means that when we each bring, let's say this is the project, whatever that is. Just work with me. This is the project. If we each individually come and do our thing, bring our thing to the project, do what we can, it gets done. But something happens when we all come together and do something. Something totally different. Something more powerful. In fact, sometimes when we all come together and work on something or do something together, the impossible happens. And that comes in all areas of life, you see. You see it every day. You see tradespeople come together, and individually they have certain gifts they all bring. But when they all come together, they construct houses. They construct skyscrapers and amazing architect, you know, buildings that have been beautifully designed. That's because every piece brings its little part. And when they all do that, amazing things happen. You see, people who are, there's a complex or almost impossible problem they got to figure out. When they come together, it's amazing what they figure out. How many here saw the movie Apollo 13? It's an old movie, right? Apollo 13, they had that issue, right? They had to get the craft back to Earth safely with everybody safe on board. It seemed impossible. They all put their heads together and what are we going to do? And they accomplished it. And it's this whole thing of synergy. Is that like and believing that it exists, because it exists. It's for real. You put a team together and have them accomplish a task that seems insurmountable, and you'd be amazed what can happen. You'd be amazed. But it's a principle that operates in our universe. It's a principle that operates in the kingdom. The kingdom operates on the principle of synergy. That's my statement. But think about faith, what faith is. Because that's what we're called to, live a life of faith. A lot of times we think faith is just that. Sometimes we think faith is a call to, you know, blind faith, jumping off a cliff and trusting God's going to rescue us, right? That's not faith at all. If you pay attention to Scripture and you pay attention to some of the stuff that's going on, what is God calling us to do? He is calling us as a faith community, there's some synergy, to come together, right? And to join Him together with Him and do the impossible. You know, Moses was given charge to go and you know, help and get the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery. And God, and he had impossible tasks to do. And God, with the people, God said, trust me. And Moses joined God in on that. He did. That's what he did. He agreed with God. When we come together, we agree with each other on what we're going after. We agree. Amazing thing, the impossible happened. The impossible. The impossible. And there's story after story after story after story after story in Scripture. It's when you engage with God on stuff. That's what faith is. The impossible happens. That's why when you hear, and I'll just touch on this real quick, that's why when you hear people who tithe, who give, seriously, you'll hear them say, you know, you'll hear the phrase, you can't outgive God. And what they're talking about is for some reason they're giving, but their bank account's not going down. That's synergy. That's what's happening. There's something that's there. You can't touch it and feel it, but you know it exists because you see it happen all the time. You see it happen all the time. Write that one down. Faith is us and God joining together to do the impossible. Now imagine what could happen if we took that step to do life together. Imagine what could happen. Imagine what could happen if those three, if we could somehow someday see those three areas, worship, life together, and doing the stuff together, come together. Imagine what could happen. Like seriously, imagine what could happen. And that's faith. Do you believe something could happen? Something powerful. Something powerful. Now, another reason I see life together as being key is because I don't know how many times I've seen people, And it breaks my heart. But I see people who are followers of Christ. And when they're, when life and faith intersect, and I mean they get, as Barb was saying, get T-boned. But their faith gets T-boned. And they're trying to live the Christian life on their own, by themselves. They don't have people to walk them through, help them. And they walk away. They walk away. I've seen people, I know people, I could name names, who've walked away. And that doesn't have to be. I don't want to see people walk away. I don't want to see that. Now, I say this with some urgency and some intentionality. I'm very sincere in what I'm saying today, guys. Very sincere. I know for a fact people just want to belong. I'm probably the most difficult church member, right? I'm one of those people, if I'm first-time person guest at a church, don't you dare ignore me. Don't you dare center me out either, right? It's that fine balance, right? I don't want a button. Don't put a hat on my head. Don't tell me to stand up. None of that, because I'll stand up and walk out, right? I'm the difficult one. But hey, people want to belong. I know there's people here who don't feel you belong, who don't feel in. That's a terrible feeling. Because you look at societies. This is where you take a step back. Look at society. Boy, I'm dry. You look at society. We identify by, you know, I'm a resident of Cambridge, actually Galt. Actually, East Galt, right? I belong to this church, or I belong to this service club, or I'm a member at this gym, or we want to belong. What we don't want to be, what we're all fearful of happening, is that we become displaced persons, or people with no, and there are millions of people out there or don't have a country, right? They can't identify with any group. But people want to belong. They do. There's nothing, I can't imagine there's anything worse than being in a group and being alone. That's probably the worst type of loneliness. In fact, it's Mother Teresa who said that loneliness is the modern day leprosy. And it's so true. So true. So I'm pushing the pedal on this. I'm pushing the pedal on this. It has to happen. We have to figure out how we're going to do life together. Now, I've shared some ideas with board and elders and the leadership team on my idea of what that would look like to make it more intentional so people are feeling connected. There is community. People feel they belong, feel that this is a place where they can belong. And two, to see people be able to mature and grow in their faith and what that looks like. I have ideas. But if it's just my ideas, it's not our ideas. It's not, we don't own it, and we have to own it. It's not something I can own. It has to be us. And so over the next little while, the next 2-3 weeks, we're going to be touching on this whole area of community and discipleship. And I'm going to be meeting again with the leadership team. We'll be meeting as well with a different, we only have a handful of small groups out there, but meeting with the small groups. We're going to have a Sunday in early February where you'll have a pizza lunch or something like that. And where we have to shape this, what this looks like. Trust me, if people are alone, if people are feeling disconnected, we are feeling disconnected. If this area is weak, we're feeling that weakness. And we can't. We have to address it. We can't ignore it because it won't go away. It'll be like the wheel bearing on the car. Eventually, the car will come to a grinding halt and the wheel fall off. And then we go, shoot. We did talk about that, didn't we? Yes, we did. Remember way back there we talked about that? Yep. Well, it happened. And here we are. So this is going to be a priority for us. Along with other things. We don't ignore the others. But this is we got to give special attention to this. Want to close with this. Back in September, and this just came to my mind last night. Back in September, a number of us were out in Ottawa at the East Metanoia Gathering, which is was for the Vineyard Churches in Eastern Canada. And we were having our sessions, and I forget what session it was, but we were near the end of it, and there was a time of prayer, and we were just praying. I think we were. You can remind me, Chris. And as we, and I remember as I was praying, I had this image come to mind. And it was one of those things, you know how sometimes something will come to mind and you feel it's for either someone or you feel it's for the body? You just, I don't know what the feeling is. Well, I know what the feeling is, but we all probably have our own different little feelings. how we go, oh. And I felt the Lord say, you know, I want you to share that with the people there at Metanoia, because this is for the Vineyard Churches in Canada. And it was like, okay. But here was the image. Here's the image I saw in my head. I was like, I don't know, a few thousand feet up above ground. It was nighttime, looking down, either on like a city or whatever. There was some lights, but but you could just faintly make out buildings, faintly make out what looked like streets and that. And then all of a sudden, lights came on. And what it was lights to a runway, the runways at an airport. And I sensed the Lord say, turn the lights on. Turn the lights on. Turn your lights on. Because there's people who are flying around looking for a place to land, and they don't know where to land. Turn your lights on. And so I shared that. But that includes us, guys. Turn our lights on. That there's people, I'm sure there's people here this morning. You feel like that little Cessna plane that's flying around looking for a place to land. You don't know where to land. And so we as a body, that affects us. Remember, if one hurts, we all hurt. We all hurt together, right? We got to turn our lights on. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to turn our lights on. Now, if there's folks here, if you're one of those folks who you're looking for a place to land, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that we haven't had lights on for you. Like, I do apologize for that. Like, I seriously do, because that's the worst place to be. But I believe if we engage with, if we actually take God up on his offer and come and join, do life together and do this thing with him, we're going to see the impossible happen. We're going to see the impossible. And that's key. That's key. Let's stand. Let's pray. My voice is totally done. I want to pray. I want us to pray. Somehow I want us to pray. We're the body, right? So it doesn't have to be me praying. I know some of you, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now. And especially I'm asking the leaders here. We have people who are flying. They don't know where to land. They don't know. They don't know where to land. And we need to pray. We need to pray for us. We need to pray, God, show us how to turn the lights on. And we need to pray that these people can have a safe landing. Come in. Before they run out of gas, guys. So I want us to do a body prayer, okay? Some of us just pray. You don't have to be a leader either. Just let's pray. Father, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come right now. Lord, would you begin to move amongst us, amongst different people here, different people. Lord, I pray right now, whatever it is, the fuzzy feeling they need to know that you're speaking to them to pray, give them that fuzzy feeling so they know that you're asking them to pray.